Like Ben said, that's off preaching for Brother Seabolt, so be praying for him tonight. I believe he's preaching. Thank you.
I believe he's preaching tonight, so pray for him. If you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll be looking, we'll have a good little bit of reading in the first half. I'll try to read it as quickly as I can so I can get to my message. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll start in verse 1. And it says in verse number 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found not, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." We should all strive for that testimony, that we please God. Verse number 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should have after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Of it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac and blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, when Moses was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians as saying toward drown. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about seven days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued the kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, which women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and in the mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I apologize for all the reading, but it's necessary. And I will say, Hebrews chapter 11 is full of a lot. I mean, you could pull so many messages and so many thoughts and devotions out of just chapter 11 alone. But out of chapter 11, I think the main topic of that chapter is what I'm preaching is faith. And why not have faith? All of these people right here, we see Abel, we see Enoch, we see Noah and Abraham. We see so many others, and even in verse 32 it says, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak," and it goes down and lists many people, and it says, time would fail me to even tell of all these great prophets and all these saints of God, to just tell just of the little tiny bit of faith that they had that was mentioned. But from verse 4 to 31 is story after story of rich, poor, old, young, people from different cultures, from different walks of life, all of them marked down in one chapter all together because of their faith. Were they perfect? Not a one. But at least we've got that in common with everybody that's in this chapter right here. We have that we are not perfect. Ain't none of us perfect. But God worked through every single one of those people that we might have an example and we might be able to follow after some of the things they did and to believe God more. But who's to say that perfect is going to stop something? But Who's to say that being perfect, that not being perfect, is going to stop something incredible from happening in our lives? It's not us being perfect that makes perfect things happen. Because ain't nothing I ever done, ain't nothing I ever touched, ever worked out. Nothing ever worked out because I had something to do with it. Not one thing. But everything that's happened in my life that's worked out for the good and glory of God is because He had His hand on it. Not because I was in it, but because God had His hand on it and He was in control. It's the perfect one. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor neither shadow of turning." We can have faith in a lot of things. We can have faith in the world and the things of this world and the people of this world. But not one of them will turn out to be like putting your faith in God. I've never put my faith in God and it turned out to be wrong. It might have turned out like something I didn't think of because I have a very I'm a human, and I'm, like I said, I ain't perfect. God's will is perfect. So things that I might follow in the will of God will work out, and it will work out exactly like He planned it to, not how I always planned it out to be. Like we just read in chapter 11, about all 15 stories, God came through every single one of them. There's not one that says, "I trusted in God, but He didn't come through." You can search this Bible from front to back, and you will never find that. You'll find people that failed God. You'll find people that failed man. You'll find people that failed themselves. But you'll never find one story or one instance where God failed someone or anybody. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our sins and all unrighteousness." Sin is the exact opposite of God. It's like light and dark. It is the exact opposite. God said right here, if we confess our sins, He is the Bible says, if we confess our sins, if we tell God exactly what we've done against Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If I were to have failed someone and told them of it, not many people would just right off the bat, that's fine. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are people out there. I'm not saying that they're not. But every single time without fail, no matter the sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. That's better than putting my faith in some, if I were to mess up on, let's say, Brother Ben right here, if I were to accidentally do something or say something that might wrong you, might be a detriment to you or that you may not like, and I were to tell you this, I can't have complete faith that you're not going to get mad or that you're not, because you may not, depending on what it is, you may not forgive me for what it is. But I can put my faith in God that He will forgive me every single time that I ask. So why not have faith? If God can forgive us of things that are the exact opposite of Him, exact opposite of righteousness, exact opposite of perfect, if He'll look down on us and forgive us of our sins, why not put our faith and trust and all into Him? But too often, and I'm speaking to myself, things happen. This life happens. We're human. Things get us down and we're like, this ain't working out. God has a plan. If you're following God's will, He won't let you down. He's got something planned for His child. Why do we put our faith in the world and the things that fail us every single day? If I were to, say, put my faith into this welding machine that I'll be welding on all day, I've had at least 7 machines in the last year and a half that I've been welding completely mess up. I can't put my faith in something that was made by man that isn't perfect. But I can put my faith in one that is perfect. And why we don't always directly go to God is beyond my understanding. I don't understand it, and in the moment, I don't understand what's going on. But why not have faith in the one that can fix everything? The one that made it happen to where we can have put our trust in Him. In Matthew chapter number 6, verse 28 through 33, it says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." Just one. He was the richest man possibly ever. He owned everything. The Lord gave him knowledge like no other man. He gave him riches like no other man. But still, just a simple lily that you can find in a pond is more beautiful and better arrayed than Solomon ever was. Just one. "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither all shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth, that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If God has promised us that He'll take care of our clothes, He'll take care of our food, He'll take care of what we drink, why shouldn't we have trust in Him? If He promised us, just like He promised every single other hero of the faith, every person in the Bible that's recorded, why shouldn't we trust Him for the base? I mean, straight basic, bare bones basic. What we eat, what we drink, and what we have on our bodies. Why should we? Man, I don't know what I'm going to eat today. God has it. God has a plan. God has it all figured out before you ever know. It says in the last verse, in verse 33, I should have flipped there. But seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Far too often we get trapped in what we're going to do, and I'm guilty of this myself. We panic and we worry. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says right before that, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. If He knows that you have need, He's way more respect into your life than you might. When you're worrying about all these things, He's way more specked into your life than you give Him credit for. Right. If He knows you have need of that, He's got you covered. He's got a plan. You just have to have faith. And why not have faith? He owns it all. The sparrow, the crow, all the birds of the fowls of the air, every beast. You don't see them sitting on the side asking for money. God gave them the fields. He gave them the rivers. He gave them the flowers that poke up in the fields. Why wouldn't the creation mirrored after Him, why wouldn't He take care of us? Why not have faith in the God of glory that created us? You know, having faith in something like God, the act of faith in something God tells you to do or not do will have a major effect on not just you. It'll have an effect on your close relatives, on your close friends, maybe even people you don't know or people you will never meet. In verse 7, it says, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He was able to save his family from the violence and the corruption of this world. He also, and the destruction of God's hand upon the wicked. If he hadn't obeyed and had faith in what God was saying to him, I mean, I can't even imagine what, I mean, we wouldn't even be here. God would have just destroyed the whole earth. He might have started again. I'm not sure. I have no idea. The Bible does not say. But if one man, just one man, didn't have faith in God, the whole earth would have been punished for it. And it was, all but eight people. In verse 23 through 29 in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to were drowned." I like how it goes down, and in almost every single verse that it is actually every single verse that it mentions someone. In verse 4 it says Abel. In verse 5, Enoch. In verse 7, Noah. In verse 8, Abraham. And it goes down like we just read a minute ago. Every single one of the stories starts out, "and by faith." Verse 5, it says, "by faith, Enoch." In verse 4, "by faith, Abel." Verse 7, "by faith, Noah." I like how every verse that it's talking about, all these heroes of faith, all these men that did great things for the Lord, by faith, it all started with faith. And by that, it shows that everything that he did in those verses was led by God. When it starts with God, you better believe if you start it with God, if you go through with God, it's going to end with God. If God will just to another man in the back, if God will go to just another man in the backside of a desert and call him to deliver his people out of the hands of the enemy, or just a young shepherd boy to be anointed king over his people, or would save the harlot Rahab living in Jericho from the falling of the walls, why would he not do that for you? Why would he not do that for you? All of these other people were just ordinary people. David, he was just a shepherd boy. He was a little shepherd boy. He wasn't the oldest. He wasn't even the middle. He was the youngest. The youngest, I don't care where you go, the oldest is always picked. They're always the oldest, the most capable out of all of the other ones. But yet God chose the smallest one. God chose the smallest one. He chose the one with the lowliest job as a shepherd keeping sheep. He went to a man on the backside of a desert. I mean, he was on the backside of a desert. He wasn't just in the desert. He was on the backside of the desert. He went to him to lead all his people out of the land of Egypt. He went to, he saved Rahab. She was a harlot living in Jericho. But because she brought the spies in, she had faith that when she asked the spies to save her and her family in that spot, that no harm would come to them. You know what happened? Not a thing happened to them when the walls fell down, because she had faith. If the Lord would go to a little shepherd boy, the youngest of eight, I believe, if he would go to a man on the backside of a desert, if he would save Rahab, why wouldn't he do it for you? Why wouldn't he do the same thing for you if you just had faith in him? He came to save you. He came to save you from our sins. I already said, a sin is the exact opposite of the righteousness of God. It is light and dark. It is night and day from God. Why not have faith in His Word? If He promised you that He'd take care of it all, why won't we have faith? I'm talking to myself here. Why wouldn't we have faith when He specifically tells us, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't matter about what you drink. I'm going to take care of you. Why wouldn't we have faith in that? If He's spoken to you as a child of God to do something and you're not sure about it, have faith in Him. If he came to you and the Lord of glory that created everything came to you specifically and told you something, He's got something real big planned for you. All you need to do is take the first step of faith to believe that He's going to do that for you. Like it says in the first couple of verses that we read earlier, verse 1 and 3 in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Have faith in the one you can't see. He's the one that made everything you can see. And the one that sees everything that you can't. So why not have faith? That's what I got.